Okay, for our next presentation will be Shelley Pate, and this will be the current methods of the National Cottonseed Treatment Program and proposed changes to the protocol. Shelley.
Thank you. Good morning. So I am Shelley Pate, and I'm a master's student with Dr. Heather Kelly at the University of Tennessee. And also, like the previous speaker, I do work with the National Cottonseed Treatment Program. So now that you've gotten to hear a little bit about the historical data review, I will be discussing the current methods associated with this trial, as well as discussing some proposed changes we may be making in the protocol in the near future. Just to give you an idea of what I'll be speaking on today, I will be touching on what the National Cottonseed Treatment Trial is and what we try to accomplish through that, the types of data that are generated from this trial, as well as discuss our current methods that we use and discuss proposed changes we may be making. So the National Cottonseed Treatment Trial is sponsored by the Cotton Disease Council, and really the purpose of this trial is that it analyzes seed treatment efficacy and stand persistence in relation to pathogens that are present in the soil for each location. We do specifically try to quantify populations of Rhizoctonia solana, the Leviopsis vesicula, as well as species of Pythium and Fusarium. As far as the types of data that are generated from this trial, we do receive several types of data, but we are able to view isolation frequencies of the pathogens that we are trying to quantify, as well as morphologically identify those pathogens that are present in a location. We also do analyze stand persistence and seed germination rates with relation to the different types of seed treatments that we utilize in our trials. As far as how we set up our plots and field locations, we do use a Delta Pine variety. This past year, we had a total of 11 treatments, three of those being controls, with those being the non-treated check, Allegiance, and Evergold Prime. All of the seeds used did have Gaucho 600 applied to them, and we did utilize a randomized complete block design, with those rows being 20 foot long or greater and a planting rate of 3 to 5 seeds per foot. This past year, we did have 12 different locations among 9 different cooperators. These were spaced out across the U.S. Cotton Belt with varying environmental factors in each location, so it really gave us some good data to work with. Moving into seedling assessment, 30 days after planting, we do ask our cooperators to take stand counts as well as take seedlings from their non-treated checks. After we receive those 100 seedlings taken from the non-treated check, we do select 5 at random and record the no counts for those. And then we take all 100 seedlings received and divide those randomly into 2 groups of 50. The first group is rated for disease severity, surface disinfected, and plated onto amended water auger, that being amended with antibiotics and a miticide. As for the second group, we plate those on a Pythium selective media, and for these purposes, we use a P5ARP. I just wanted to touch a little bit more on that disease severity rating that I discussed in the previous slide. So we do look at both the hypocotyl and the root regions of the seedling. For the hypocotyl, we use a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being that the seedling is exhibiting no symptoms, and 5 being that it is exhibiting a lot of necrosis and we consider it dead. As for the roots, we use a 1 to 6 scale, 1 being, again, that seedling is exhibiting no symptoms, and 6 being that greater than 75% of that root section is exhibiting discoloration. When plating out these seedlings, I did mention that first group is plated onto amended water auger. We usually allow these to incubate for about 3 to 5 days, and then we take isolations of the growth from the water auger plates and transfer those onto amended PDA. We also take the seedlings that are plated onto the water auger and transfer those onto a selective media for the Leviopsis vesicula. For these purposes, we use TBCEN, and we allow those plates to incubate for about 1 to 2 weeks. As far as that second group of 50 seedlings that I mentioned, they are in fact plated on that Pythium selective media of P5 ARP. We also allow these to incubate for 1 to 2 weeks. And I would like to mention that after all of these plates reach their incubation period, we do examine them under a compound scope for presence or absence of the pathogen that we are selected for. For soil protocol, in addition to those 100 seedlings that we receive from our cooperators, we do ask if they send us 10 soil cores per location that they have from their non-treated checks. This comes out to be a total of 750 grams. And just to give you an idea of how that's broken down and used, 100 grams of that is used for parasitic nematode evaluation, 500 grams is used for Rhizoctonia solana toothpick baiting, and the last 30 grams is used for soil dilution plating to analyze pathogen populations of Thalabiopsis vesicula, as well as species of Pythium. For our Rhizoctonia solana toothpick baiting, we do use 4-inch pots, which we fill to the headspace with soil. We saturate those pots from the bottom and then allow those pots to drain overnight, at which time we come back in and we add 9 flat, sterile toothpicks into the soil, which we arrange in a 3x3 square pattern. We allow the toothpicks to remain in the soil for about 48 hours, at which time we come in and remove those from the soil. So after we remove the toothpicks from the soil, we plate 3 toothpicks onto a gridded plate that contains Terry Spurlock media, Terry Spurlock media being selective for Rhizoctonia solana. We mark the cells that are exhibiting growth and record those, and then we make isolations from those cells and transfer those onto amended PDA. And again, we do allow the PDA plates to incubate for about 3 to 5 days. And then we come back in and look at our PDA plates, observe what we're seeing under the scope, and compare those isolations to the initial observations we made from the Terry Spurlock plates to just confirm that what we were originally seeing was in fact Rhizoctonia solana. I did briefly mention about how we utilize soil dilution plating to analyze pathogen populations of the Thalabiopsis vesicula and Pythium species. So how we do that is we use 25 grams dry or 30 grams of wet soil. We distribute those into 500 milliliter screw top flasks, and then we take 250 milliliters of diluted water agar and add those to the soil in the flask. We then place the flasks on a wrist action shaker for about 20 minutes just to allow the soil and the diluted water agar to incorporate into each other. And for a Thalabiopsis vesicula soil dilution plating, we do use 10 plates per location. We take 10 milliliters of that soil dilution that we made and pipet that onto an empty plate. And then using the pour plate method, we add TBC in to fill the plate. We allow these to incubate for 1 to 2 weeks, and then we come back and count the CFUs for each plate, total those up, and record the number of CFUs for each plate. For our Pythium species plating, we only use 6 plates per location, and just like the Thalabiopsis, we take 10 milliliters of that soil dilution we made, but this time we add it to 90 milliliters of diluted water agar. We then pipette 10 milliliters of that and add them to pre-made P5 ARP plates. And instead of using the pour plate method, we utilize the spread plate method this time to distribute that evenly over that Pythium selected plate. We usually only let these incubate for about 48 hours, and this is only because we've observed that the Pythium soil dilution plates seem to grow out a little bit faster than the Thalabiopsis plates. When we go to count the CFUs for these plates, we do rinse the soil first to just make sure we are observing CFU growth and not soil dilution matter. And just like the Thalabiopsis plates, we total those up and record the number of CFUs per plate. I just wanted to mention some additional measures that we do take when working with this trial. Stand counts are taken for every treatment. We do analyze seed germination rates for each treatment method. And in the past, we have sent our cooperator soil probes, which analyze the soil moisture content and as well as the temperature of the soil. This past year, it seems that the soil probes reached their lifespan. We had a lot of trouble getting them to work correctly. So moving forward, we are looking at purchasing different soil probes or just analyzing the weather data for the locations for what the temperature of the soil was and the weather data for that growing season. Over the past 23 years, we have received a lot of useful data, but moving forward, we are looking forward to making our data more accurate and our sampling and analyzation process more efficient. So with that being said, we are looking towards adding a genetic component to this project that would include genetic confirmation of the pathogen and quantification of those pathogens. When talking about our Pythium and Fusarium species, I do have several species of Pythium and Fusarium listed that are known to be pathogenic to cotton. However, when looking towards primers, we are only looking towards using primers that are specific to genera for these. However, moving on to our Thalaviopsis vesicula and our Rhizoctonia solana, we are interested in primers that are specific to species when analyzing these. We are also discussing the removal of some methods. One that's being discussed currently is the removal of the Thalaviopsis selective media in favor of a Fusarium selective media, which moves us into the proposed change of adding the Fusarium selective media. So during a literature review, we did find that there are several types of Fusarium selective media that produce pretty high isolation rates for various species of Fusarium. However, upon further review, we are really leaning towards using the NS and the MCZ, which I have bolded for our project purposes, just because they've been shown to produce higher isolation rates of Fusarium species that are pathogenic to cotton. And just to summarize some of the things that I've talked about today, I just wanted to remind you that the goal of the National Cottonseed Treatment Trial is that it analyzes seed treatment efficacy and stand persistence in relation to pathogens that are present in the soil for all of our locations. We are looking specifically at Rhizoctonia solana, the Thalaviopsis vesicula, Pythium species, as well as Fusarium species. And as for the current methods we use in our lab, we do utilize seedling assessment, selective media, and soil dilution plating to try to quantify and assess those pathogen populations. As far as moving forward with our project, for proposed changes, we are looking at molecular identification and quantification of these pathogens, as well as possibly adding a new selective media for Fusarium species. As Rachel said, this is a really big project. It has a lot of moving parts. I started this summer with it, and there's no way that I would have been able to get through all of the processing of the samples without all of the people listed and all of their support. So thank you to everybody that is listed on this slide. And I'd also just like to say that moving forward, like I said, we're just kind of spitballing these ideas. We have a good idea of where we want to go, but I would love for you to email me if you have any suggestions whatsoever on how we can make our data more accurate and our sampling process more efficient. Anything helps. I'd love to talk to you, so please do not hesitate to email me. Thank you. We're thinking about using qPCR, but like I said, it's still in the early stages, so we're not even sure what primers specifically we're going to be using yet, which is another reason why we wanted to come and give this presentation so we could get suggestions. So please, if you have any suggestions, please email me. So like I said, moving forward, we have a good idea of where we want to go. We just haven't settled on anything specific yet.